Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Fun, entertaining, knowledgeable.
All right.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right.
Live and local, it's time for the Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
Good morning, everybody. Oh, I'm fun, and I am entertaining, and I am knowledgeable. I'm also a little crazy. Crazy for my Green Bay Packers. We got a lot. I got just so much to get to today. My God. I might try to be on the air 8, 9, 10 hours. I might just go on the air straight through till tomorrow. We got a new Eddie J. Lemberger song to drop today. I don't know how much I like it, but we got a new Eddie J. Lemberger song to drop today. We'll get there. You know, Bucks Lust took a week to grow on me, but we'll get there. Love Eddie J. It's just that Eddie's got other classic Packers songs. You know, he's already established some of the greats, and now he's coming up with more, trying to recreate that Bucks Lust magic. We'll see. Packers Niners on Saturday. How we feeling? Where we at? Rami Makhlouf, Sam Schmitz yesterday on the Rami Show. They asked this question. They said, on a scale of 1 to 10, what's your confidence level? And I was looking at some of the Facebook answers. Facebook, 1250 AM The Fan. Twitter, we're in Twitter jail. Ryan says 9. These Niners are not on the Packers level. Only team in the NFC that should maybe be able to beat us are the Buccaneers, and that's a stretch, but you can't count out Tom Brady. Michael says 5. I have no faith in our coach. He has been outcoached in a few of their biggest games. Unprepared. Wow. Mark, whose logo on Facebook is a Niners logo, says, obviously, I'm a Niners fan. I expect the Packers to win. But if they can't stop the run and Debo and the Niners defense gets in a groove, they may have a very long day. Don't take the Niners lightly. They can sneak up on you and surprise you. Just ask the Cowboys. The problem with that is the Cowboys, you want to talk about a coach that's unprepared. Mike McCartney, who is safe, apparently. We'll see. Want to talk about that too. 414-799-1250. Dave is in Cudahy. 414-799-1250.
Oh, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Dave. Happy Tuesday.
Thank you. I would have called sooner, but you told me not to bring up the TVs anymore.
If you want to tell me about the size of your TV, I mean, you might as well get it out of your system.
No, I'm good. I don't need to. I have that pocket portable one, you know, the one with the pull-out antenna. That's really all that I need.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah. Also, if you're ever looking for someone to talk wrestling, I am always that guy.
Yeah, if I was a little younger and more motivated, I might do a podcast with you on the Odyssey app.
That's fair. I mean, well, again, you ever change your mind? Maybe we could just do, like, some post-pay-per-view shows.
Yeah, you know, I do want to do more stuff, but then I also want to take a three-hour nap every day. So I tell you, every day I drive home and I think, this is the day you don't take a nap. This is the day.
If it makes you feel any better, Bart, I am like quickly approaching that. I'm getting in like an hour and a half, 2 hour nap every day and still going to bed by like 11.
Yeah, I can't not nap. The problem for me, a big problem for me is when I come home, you know, my mother-in-law's there a few days a week, but I put my son down for a nap, and then when I put him down for a nap and I like sing songs to him and read him a book, well, that tires me out even more. So then I have to take a nap.
Oh, your lullabies put yourself to sleep?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. That's talent right there.
Yeah, I know.
So, like, really, I don't understand why people are making the 49ers-Cowboys game like it was such an amazing upset. Did we forget that the Cowboys played in the NFC East and the 49ers played in the NFC West?
Arguably, and, like, everybody that gambles or even picks games, like, I feel like I was the one guy that took the Cowboys. Everybody was on the Niners.
I don't even gamble, and I still took the Niners. I knew they were going to win. I think it was a pretty safe bet they were going to win, and I'm surprised that the Cowboys weren't the underdogs going into that matchup. But, you know, whatever. I understand that the 49ers are a good team, a very good team. Again, they play out of the NFC West, which is, yeah, it's got three representatives. I mean, that says something. I'm not scared of them at all. I wouldn't even be scared if we had a lot of the guys that are coming back, which are going to help bolster that offense and defense, if they decided to hang out for one more game. I feel that confident in this Packers team, as should everyone else on this planet.
Dave, it's not about the Packers and Niners. It's not about this Niners team. Nobody's worried about this Niners team. What people are worried about is their memories coming back, and they're nobody's looking at this Niners team and saying they're going to beat us. They're looking at the 2012 Niners that beat us. They're looking at the 2019 Niners that beat us. They're looking at the 2014 Seahawks that beat us. They're looking at the 2002 Vikings that beat us. They're looking at the Eagles of 2003 that beat us. They're looking at every playoff heartbreak that we've had over the last 25 years and manifesting it into this game. Nobody's worried about the Niners. You're worried about seeing a playoff loss again, and the Niners just happen to be the team that we're facing. That's what's going on. I'm brilliant. I'm so smart.
People need to reach into their junk drawer and pull out some type of horse blinders and get away from this, because it means nothing. It's a year-to-year competition here, all right? Stop it with that.
Whoa. What are we saying means nothing? The Super Bowl, my life depends on the Super Bowl. I need them to win the Super Bowl.
Let me rephrase. Those postseason losses of yesteryear mean nothing to this year.
Yeah, there you go.
It comes to the Packers and their ultimate goal and destiny, because it's kismet at this point, of winning the Lombardi Trophy, right?
Yeah. Hey, Dave, did you know that trophy's got, it's named after us? It's got Lombardi right there on the name of the trophy. So it deserves to be back here in Titletown.
Oh, I thought it was named after Joe Lombardi, offensive coordinator for San Diego.
No, did you know that's his great-grandpappy?
What about Michael Lombardi?
Michael Lombardi is a friend of the show, but he never has a take that's good.
All right, well, that's why he comes on the big show and not the apex show that is the Bart Winkler show.
Yeah, I just love football, and I love meat.
Ooh, tell me, elaborate on your meat that you love.
You know, there's nothing I love more than raising cattle and then killing that cattle and then eating it for dinner for a week.
Ooh, you gotta start getting down there, Bart. You sure do know how to stir up one hell of a rodeo.
All right, Dave. It's been a real pleasure. I reckon we do it again another time.
All right. You have a good one now, y'all.
All right. See you. Hang in there. Say hi to your wife for me.
Whoa. Slow down now.
Hey, partner. Say hi to your wife for me. You hear? Yeah. He needed to hang up. I was going to do that forever. There was no, once I start talking that way, you can't pull me out of it. He needed to hang up on me, and I'm glad he did. Very glad. I do think that I'm spot on there. I think I'm 100% right. I don't think that it's not about the Niners. Because if you watched the game last night, the LA Rams beat the Arizona Cardinals. And you know who looked better this weekend? The Rams looked better than the Niners did. Niners are the only wild card team to advance, by the way. The Rams looked good. They got Cam Akers back, who looks as good as he's looked. Odell Beckham is fitting right in. They didn't even need Cooper Kupp yesterday. They didn't even need him. Tyler Higbee is back dominating the middle. Matt Stafford looking competent. The defense, they were determined last night to win in front of their home fans. If you want to worry about a team over the weekend that you saw play, I mean, the Rams looked a hell of a lot better than the Niners. But that's what we'd be doing if the Niners lost and the Cowboys won. The Cowboys would be going to Tampa, and then we'd be spending today's show doing what we did yesterday, only about a different team. Yesterday it was the Niners, and today it'd be about the Rams. Now, just based on what I saw over the weekend, the Rams looked a lot better. But even if the Rams are going to come here, we've seen Stafford here a million times. I'm not worried about that. The Rams, I think, are a better team than the Niners, so maybe they keep it a little closer. I'm not even sure who I'm rooting for in that game yet. First of all, the Packers need to win, and then I'll watch that game with a rooting interest. But do you want the Rams? Do you think they're a better team? I think that the Rams might be a better team than Tampa. But Tampa is Tom Brady, and Tom Brady is like, Tom Brady, you can't defeat him.
I don't think the Rams are better than Tampa, but they might be better than Tampa if they roll in there without Tristan Wirfs. Because they seem to really struggle without Wirfs. And then on top of that, they're already missing all those weapons on offense. That Buccaneers team, it wasn't... I mean, they blew out the Eagles. So maybe they just took their foot off the gas.
I mean, Tampa, like, if they stud Antonio Brown, if they stud Chris Godwin...
Yeah, I don't think it'd be a question they'd be better than the Rams if they still had those guys. But
Now, it's the Buccaneers are designed to have a good offensive line to give Brady the 2 seconds he needs to throw the ball to a guy for 5 yards so that he can run for another 30.
It's going to be interesting to see what that team looks like heading into that game against Los Angeles, because you had Fournette and Ronald Jones miss the game. I'd assume one of them needs to be back. They don't want to start Keyshawn Vaughn in that game. Now, they were able to get away with it against the Eagles because the Eagles are terrible. They're not going to be able to get away with that against the Los Angeles Rams. And someone's going to have to step up in that receiving game as a number two. You know, Scotty Miller, Tyler Johnson, one of those guys, because Mike Evans can't do it all by himself. And Jalen Ramsey is going to be shadowing him, I'd assume, or who knows if they're going to overthink it and not have him shadow him. But, I mean, it's going to be an interesting game, that one will be, because the Buccaneers team is kind of banged up. And if they're missing Wirfs, maybe the Rams are able to get some pressure on Brady. And we've seen that the Rams can beat the Buccaneers. They did it earlier this season. So I don't think it'd be an upset if the Rams beat the Buccaneers. And honestly, right now, if you're the Packers, you know, just looking ahead, I don't know that it really matters which team you play. But if the Buccaneers are going to come in the same team that played the Eagles in the first round, or even if they only return, say, Leonard Fournette or whatever in that, I wouldn't be intimidated by the Buccaneers at all.
No, I mean, there's 8 teams left. They're all good.
I don't know that I'm intimidated by anybody left.
Maybe, I might be intimidated by the Chiefs.
Yeah, AFC, maybe the Chiefs. If the Bills find a way to beat the Chiefs and then get into the Super Bowl, maybe the Bills. I'm not that worried about anybody else, though. It's one of those things where if you're the top seed, stop looking around at everybody else. Worry about what's your problems. Worry about yourself. Worry about what you can fix about yourself. If you fix everything internally that needs to be fixed, you're going to beat the Niners. You're going to beat whoever you play in the NFC Championship, and you're going to beat whoever you play in the Super Bowl because you're the better team.
Yeah, I was told I used to run track for some – I don't even know how. I ran long distance. And when I was ahead of somebody...
Long distance for you or actually long distance?
I would like you to pack your bags and leave.
I've been kind of aggressive this week towards you.
I am aware.
Sorry about that.
No, I'm conflicted on it. Because I do like it. But it does hurt. You know? I do like getting made fun of. I do.
I mean, you're always welcome to make fun of me, too.
I will. I know I like getting made fun of if it's clever. And I think you've been, or it's like so obvious that it, you know, there's like.
You
there's,
like witty or like so bad
yeah,
that it's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I got it.
But if you're like, what's a Bart Winkler? Bert? I mean, just go away. You know who needs to go away? I'm still reading these comments here. I'm still reading these comments. Oh, my race analogy. You're ahead of the competition. You know what you're not supposed to do is look behind you. And one, it slows you down. And two, you shouldn't be worried about that. God, Packer fans, we love to run a race and then turn around and see where everybody else is. I mean, you just got to keep on running. This Facebook comments, Rami and the guys in the afternoon, Rami and Sam in the afternoon asked 1 to 10, your confidence level. Rob says, I'm a 7. I know what this team is capable of. I just hope this team brings its A game from here on out. I don't want to see the team that showed up against the Saints. Why in the hell is anybody thinking about that game? That was like half a year ago.
That game like doesn't count.
I know.
We said it at the time, like, don't worry about it. Who cares?
We've had two COVID variants since then.
How?
Move on.
38. That is just whack. If you think back to the beginning of the season, the Packers lost 38-3 to the New Orleans Saints and were trailing at halftime to the Lions. Doesn't that seem like an eternity ago?
Yeah, move on. Rob then goes on to say, as the Niners-Cowboys game proved. Ooh, he spells proved. He spells proved, P-R-O-O-V-E-D. As the Niners-Cowboys game proved. This is why I never go on Facebook. Home field advantage doesn't mean a whole lot. He's right. Home field advantage in the playoffs doesn't mean much. Just ask the Buccaneers or the Bills or the Rams or the Chiefs or the Bengals, who all won at home. Rube. R-O-O-B. 414-799-1250. Do want to tell you that this weekend there's going to be a new set of props out at BetQL.com as you can cash in during the pro football playoffs. Giving props is the contest. It's free to play on BetQL.com. For every round of the playoffs, 10 props are posted. All you have to do is create an account and make your picks. You can win $2,000 each and every week. So even if you didn't play last week, you can enter to win again this week. And just for signing up, you're in the random grand prize drawing for $10,000. You can get started today. Create your account. Sign up. BetQL.com/props. That's BetQL.com/props.
Kyle, when did Jimmy Garoppolo get hurt? And did you can you repeat that? Did you say he will not be able to practice this week?
No, he should be fine for practice. He did in the second quarter. He had to play through some pain and stuff, but he's ended up checking out all right, just a slight shoulder sprain, and he should be good for Wednesday's practice.
Niners a little banged up coming into the game on Saturday night. Packers will hit the practice field this Wednesday as well. We'll see what condition they're in. But Jimmy Garoppolo a little banged up with the shoulder. Also, Fred Warner got knocked around, their linebacker. We'll see if he's ready to go. He was tweeting yesterday that he feels good. He should be out there. And then Nick Bosa with the Niners, he's also dealing with a concussion. He got hurt and then missed the rest of the game against Dallas. Will Nick Bosa be able to play? More from Kyle Shanahan.
Kyle, I know concussions can be tricky things to judge, but did you get a chance to talk to Nick on the plane? How did he seem? Do you have any feel at all for how he is?
I didn't personally get a chance to talk to him. I talked to a number of guys who did and our trainers. You know how those go, but I mean, being pretty optimistic with it. I've seen that a few times, and he seems like he's in a pretty good spot right now, but not going to be the one who judges that.
Yeah, we eavesdropped on a Kyle Shanahan conference call, and so we're bringing you the latest injury updates because it depends and matters what's going to happen on the football field, but nobody cares about that. What we care about is, are you and Matt LaFleur still friends?
Have you had any communication with Matt LaFleur since that game you guys played week 3, I seem to recall, you know, a little bit of a frosty post-game handshake. Have you guys, what's your relationship like with him?
No, Matt's my guy. Matt and I are totally good. I was pissed after that game because of how the game just ended.
That was a tough one. Took a while to get over. But we're good. I talked to Matt a lot. Done a hell of a job this year. Been real happy for him, but that stops this week.
See, they're friends. They're friends, and they talk, but this week they're enemies because they play each other. Oh, man. Football's great, isn't it? Love it. 414-799-1250. Greg is in Pewaukee. Greg, what's up?
Hey, I'm telling you, I'm the former Viking fan, so I want to tell you something. Home field advantage. They're going to be playing up in that cold weather. You're going to bring two warm weather teams, probably first San Francisco, and then, well, I guess three.
Yeah,
either
anybody.
LA or Tampa Bay. And one thing I used to love about the Vikings, Bud Grant would come out. He wouldn't let the guys wear have warmers, seat warmers or anything. God, year after year they beat L.A. Year after year they beat other teams because of that cold field. And then, of course, they went on and lost every Super Bowl. But, boy, I like the fact that the Packers had the home field. Now, they haven't done good on it in the last couple of years, but I'm so excited. I just, like I said, I'm newly minted. I love every play. We'll see. Don't be negative.
Yeah, don't be negative. Be negative. Be negative is my blood type, not my personality.
Exactly. They're going to play. They play to their potential. They're all healthy. You know, eat a good bowl of oatmeal before that game, and yeah. Oh, boy, watch. You'll be very proud of that team.
All right, Greg, welcome aboard. Hope you have a good weekend.
Thank you. You too.
Yeah, Greg. Greg was a longtime Vikings fan, and he told us last week, 2 weeks ago, he just had enough. Yeah, I only know my blood type because it is B negative, and a lot of people think that I like to be negative, so.
It goes hand in hand, right?
Yeah.
I think it's, I pointed out one thing yesterday on Twitter. The Niners love to have this entrance where they walk in with a boombox.
Oh, okay.
They can't do that at Lambeau.
Why not? Cowboys brought their own benches to Washington. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah, they can try. Try walking down and a 2x2 file line with a boombox dude on the outside down the visitor's tunnel at Lambeau. Go ahead.
I did see something you tweeted last night about J.J. Watt. Where you took a screenshot of his tweet that said, maybe we're...
Oh, yeah. I've just had that sitting in my photos for a long time. Love having that one.
There was that clip of J.J. Watt. Who did they beat? Were they undefeated at the time? Where he's walking around the sideline saying, maybe we're just... And bleep. Maybe we're just better. Maybe all these teams doubting us. Maybe we're just... And he totally knew the camera. If you're like, Bart, are you in a good mood today? You're damn right I'm in a good mood. All the Watts are out of the playoffs. Thank God.
Yeah, I saw your tweet about that. Now
hey, Ultimate Tag. Yeah, Ultimate Tag's back. Come on. TJ Watt. You go. TJ Watt's going to be Defensive Player of the Year. You know why? Because when his team is down 14 points, he's hurt. Can't hurt TJ's. TJ's like the one guy in all of football that thinks plus minus is a stat in football. can't score on me. I'm not out there. I need Defensive Player of the Year. I need my 22 and a half sacks. And I'm going to petition for it. Come on.
What player for the Niners would worry you the most? Debo? George Kittle?
It's got to be Debo. Debo's one of a kind. I mean, we haven't seen anything like Debo ever.
Yeah, I think it's got to be Debo. Because of how they can use him all over the field. But if they can get Kittle going, it seemed like they didn't get Kittle going much at all against the Cowboys. And if they're able to get him going...
Kittle hasn't really done anything in the last month.
Yeah, I mean, he had a good season, but it wasn't anything like the last couple years where it was him and Travis Kelce in the conversation as best tight end. This season, it was Kelce, and then Mark Andrews was having a good season. And you kind of forgot about George Kittle, if that's possible. I think it's got to be Debo because of how they can use him all over the field. And if you're worried about the running game, they use him in the running game. And against just about every team he plays, he averages 6, 7, 8 yards a carry. And he's so electric. You saw it in that Cowboys game. They can get him going outside to the right, and then he can find an avenue and, you know, juke out everybody and find his way into the end zone on a play that maybe should have only gone for 4 or 5 yards. So it's going to be interesting to see how Kyle Shanahan uses Debo against the Packers. And again, I think the main thing for this Packers defense is just stay disciplined, stay in your lanes, read your keys, don't get out of position. Because as soon as you do, either that play action with Jimmy Garoppolo run a bootleg, he's going to find someone in the second level, or he's going to get Debo Samuel is going to be able to exploit that, or whatever it is. Just staying in position, I think you can stop this Niners team. I think that's a lot of what they depend on is the guys. They have really talented players in Debo and George Kittle. The rest of their guys, Elijah Mitchell's been good, but there's a reason that he was a sixth-round pick and wasn't a first-round pick. I mean, he's a good running back, don't get me wrong, but it's not like he's, you know, one of the best running backs in the league. So as long as you stay disciplined and try to contain Debo and George Kittle, and I think they'll get theirs, but as long as you keep them from multiple big plays, I think the Packers defense is going to be able to keep them in front. And if you just keep them from marching down every time, then I think the Packers will win this game pretty easily.
I need them to push Debo outside. If you can push Debo outside, then you can get numbers and you can get guys to kind of match him. There were some runs against the Cowboys where he wasn't able to get back to the line of scrimmage if you push him outside. If he can just cut through the middle, I mean, he's going to have 5-6 yards just automatically. Also, where I'm worried about with Debo is if Debo's in the backfield and he doesn't get the football, well, then you're focused on Debo, and that's when the Niners do some of their other stuff. When the Niners are the best, and this has been Shanahan's way, and you saw it on that first drive, is when it looks like Debo's coming, and then they give it to Elijah Mitchell. And then you think Elijah Mitchell, and then they do some jet sweep to Brandon Ayuk, and then they throw it over the middle. It's like 15-yard plays on top of each other that they're able to do because of what you saw in the last couple of 15-yard plays. That's why that Niners first drive was so scary, because that's peak Niners. That's what they're going to try to do. So it is definitely Debo, the guy I'm the most, I would say, concerned about, but it's not just Debo for what he can do. It's when Debo's in the backfield and you're focused on Debo, then it seems like everybody is heightened because of the misdirection.
Okay, then on top of that, one guy on the Niners, or how confident are you against the Niners 1-10? One guy said that he's not super confident because LaFleur has been outcoached. Out of the guys left in the NFC, do you think that LaFleur is going to get outcoached by any of them? I mean, Arians beat him last year, so maybe you can say Arians, but is he getting outcoached by Shanahan on Saturday, or is he getting outcoached by, if they get past the Niners, is he getting outcoached by McVay or Arians again?
I'm a Packers fan.
I'm trusting in LaFleur. I think he's gone through this twice now. You know, he's had the NFC Championship losses twice now. I think he knows how to get there. And I'm trusting. I don't know that he's the best coach left. I mean, if he wins, yeah. But I'm a 10. I'm a 10 because they're going to win. So I'm a 10.
Yeah, I agree on that. And I think you brought up the point throughout the season that LaFleur seems to be a guy that has to experience it to learn from it. Maybe that scares you a little bit if you get into the Super Bowl that he hasn't been there before. But he's been to back-to-back NFC championships. One, he kind of got obliterated on the ground, and, you know, the Packers beat themselves, but they really didn't seem like they had much of a chance once the Niners got going in that one. Then this past one, they should have won, and I think he learned from that. So he's had two different experiences in the NFC Championship of what not to do. I think this year, if he gets there again, he'll get the job done because he's seen it. It seems like LaFleur, once he sees it, he's a good coach. And he just learns from it. So hopefully that's the case. And I'm not worried about any of these guys. It's not like he's facing Bill Belichick. It's not like he's facing a guy like a Mike Tomlin or John Harbaugh left. I don't think you can put Bruce Arians in that same light. And, you know, we've seen McVay and Shanahan have awesome regular seasons and not be able to get the job done in the playoffs too. So I don't think they're any different than LaFleur in that case.
Shanahan's a good coach, but I think he gets a little more credit than he deserves.
I agree on that.
Like, he might be good, but everybody looks at him as, like, a wizard.
Well, and I think a lot of people put him right there with a guy like Sean McVay, and I think Sean McVay, out of that little tree there with McVay and LaFleur and Shanahan and some of those other guys, the young guys that kind of all run the same sort of systems, I think Shanahan's now at the bottom of those three. I think LaFleur and McVay are the top two. I don't think you can pass McVay. I don't think LaFleur's passed him just because McVay kind of started all this. And maybe once LaFleur gets to the Super Bowl and wins one, he'll pass him. So I think LaFleur is just right next to McVay in that sense. But I think they passed Shanahan by.
Yeah, Shanahan, that game never should have been as close as it was at the very end there with the Cowboys. They had a 4th-and-1 near midfield that they punted.
Well, if there's one thing I'm confident in, that. It's that Kyle Shanahan is going to try to do the Sean Payton thing and be the smartest guy in the room. Like, he does that every single game. That first drive for the Niners, you watched them come out and just roll down the field, doing all types of different things, but primarily what? Running the football. They come out their second drive, and what do they start with? 2 straight passes to set him behind the sticks, and Garoppolo makes a good throw to Jennings, and they pick up a 3rd-and-10, so they're able to keep going there. But if you're running the ball well, don't fool around and keep passing it. I think Shanahan, in a lot of ways, he's going to be good in that scripted first drive, maybe into the second drive. But after that, I have utmost confidence that Matt LaFleur is going to be the better head coach in that game.
414-799-1250. That's the number to call into the show and be a part of this little thing we do here weekdays 6 to 10 on The Fan. Coming up, Don Wachilis is going to join us from the College Sports Show because, yeah, we're talking aspirations, championship aspirations for the Green Bay Packers. Once their journey is over, however it ends, we may be able to focus on another team with championship aspirations. Ranked 10th preseason in their conference. Now they're number 8 overall in college basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers. Don Wachilis joining us coming up here on The Fan. 1250 AM The Fan. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Toby Altizer. We are live inside the Lakeland University studios. Online learning in 7 locations throughout the state. You can learn on your terms. Visit lakeland.edu, lakeland.edu. Thursday nights on The Fan, 6 p.m. It's the College Sports Show that is spearheaded by Don Wachilis, who joins us on Tuesdays. And Don, I'm watching these NFL playoffs, and thanks for coming on, but I'm watching the NFL playoffs, which expanded, and I can't help but think, like, as we're talking about college football expansion, and now it seems like it's off the table again, but maybe expanded playoffs isn't, maybe it's not. I mean, you still need, like, if you win your Power 5, you still should be able to get in, but I don't know, man. Some of the football this weekend, not great.
No, it was a little brutal to watch, especially, watching that Eagle-Tampa Bay game was a little hard to take, thinking that was professional football. But I don't know. I just, we've talked about it time and time again. I just think expanded playoffs will only benefit the game in the long run. And I'm sure you're going to get playoff situations like we've seen this past weekend where you're going to get some bad games, you're going to get some ugly games, but I just think overall in the long run expansion is the way to go.
It's tough though because you got all these different heads of the conferences trying to figure out like what's best, and if you're the SEC, I mean, you could basically hold everybody hostage because the guy was quoted, the commissioner's like, hey, playoffs seem pretty good for us because they get Alabama and they get Georgia in, and now you're getting Oklahoma and Texas over there eventually. The SEC, there could be a year where all 4 teams are SEC. Who knows?
That would just be nauseating, but you're absolutely right, and that's where it's going right now. I mean, you've got university presidents and other administrators who sit around that table arguing about expansion. How do we expand? Do we go to 12? Do we go to 8? Whatever the case may be. And the SEC right now, because it needs to be a unanimous decision, they're sitting there, they're looking like Joe Burrow smoking a cigar after a playoff win, sitting at the table like, you guys can argue this all you want, but right now we're sitting in a beautiful situation. And unless in some fashion or form you make this beneficial to us, we're really good with the situation we have. So go ahead, argue away, and we'll figure it out somewhere down the line.
I won 140 person poker tournament in Vegas once, and I talk about it like once a week because I have so few accomplishments in my life that I hearken back to it. But I bring it up because I was like the chip leader with 4 people left, and one of the ladies, she was from England or something, and she's like, would you like to chop the pot? Would you like to all split the winnings evenly? And I looked at her and I said,
What the hell do you think? I got all the power here. I'm not right. listening to you peons. And that's exactly how the SEC must be.
Oh, absolutely. Just sitting there, you know, overseeing everything, as you said, with all the chips sitting in front of them, they have nothing that they need to give right now. What they're looking for are the other conferences bending over to them and pushing everything their way to make the pot even sweeter for them if they're going to go ahead and expand. Because you got to figure if you expand it and you sweeten the SEC pot, the SEC right now will still remain dominant for quite a few years. Things aren't going to balance out for quite a while. So the SEC will still reign supreme if you expand the playoffs. The issue is going to be for the commissioner, what are you giving us to push us towards the expansion theory that everybody else is proposing?
Talking with Don Wachilis, College Sports Show, Thursday, 6 p.m. right here on The Fan. If you miss it live, you can catch it, of course, on the Odyssey app or the Rewind feature. The Wisconsin Badgers were a team, the basketball team, that was picked pretty low in the Big Ten conference predictions, maybe even all the way down the 10th. They are the eighth-ranked team in college basketball right now with a 14-2 record, head Northwestern tonight. And I don't think that you can look at this and say, like, fluke in any way. This is the real deal. Johnny Davis is the real deal. And what's good about the game, the last game they played, is Davis struggled a little bit and other guys stepped up. This is a pretty good basketball team. We're gonna start looking at those bylines of the 1-2 seeds and starting to think that we could maybe get one of those come March Madness.
Yeah, it's crazy going into this season thinking about what we thought the Badgers were going to be. And I remember somebody asking me where we thought we were going with this, and I thought, you know, if we could just get to the Sweet 16, if we got to the Sweet 16, life would just be wonderful. It would be a giant step for this Badger program. Well, let's get beyond the Sweet 16. Now we're talking Grade 8, maybe even Final Four, as far as the dream goes, because they have been playing so well. And I would argue to this point yet, Bart, they have yet to play a complete 40-minute basketball game. We saw it last week against Ohio State. They played a great first half, and then they have these segments, whether it's the first or second half, 8-9 minute segments where things just don't go well. They can't hit a shot defensively. There's some miscues, but they've built up enough equity where they end up winning the game once we get to the final buzzer. If this team puts together a full 40-minute game, boy, look out. Sky's the limit.
You know, you got to give a lot of credit, too, to Greg Gard. I remember the night, I think we all do, where Bo Ryan, what was it, a Monday or something? He's like, you know what? I'm out. I'm just going to retire right now. Greg Gard, you take over. And then there was a lot of discussion about, like, well, does Barry Alvarez want him? Is he his guy? And then Greg Gard had a good year, made the tournament. And then Greg Gard, over the last, like, 7 years, it's not just about what he gets out of these guys. It's that he recruits. He's bringing in guys. I mean, they're best players from, you know, lacrosse and Johnny Davis. I just think that we got to, you know, sometimes we got to give a lot of credit to Greg Gard, because he is really, when the program was in like some turmoil, he took it and he ran with it, and credit to this guy.
Well, think about the program 2 years ago where you had turmoil, as you said. They circle the wagons. And they make a great run at the end of January, into February. COVID hits. We don't get an NCAA tournament, where the way the Badgers were playing, there was a lot of hope and aspirations about how they would do once the tournament began. Then we find ourselves last year. We read after the season much of the turmoil that was taking place, in the locker room, off the court, and we saw kind of dysfunction even on the floor. Things just didn't look well, and yet he continues to keep his head above water. As you said, he recruits well. He's a guy who knows his X's and O's. And this year, suddenly, when the turmoil off the court behind the scenes has settled a little bit, they're just playing unbelievable basketball. He knows how to coach, and he's one of those coaches that I think us in the public, we sometimes scratch our heads, because he's not the greatest media get. He doesn't give the greatest press conferences. You don't always get the greatest sound bites, but he understands the game of basketball, and the guys he recruits play for him. And that's really all you want.
The Badgers have Northwestern tonight. I don't know much about their basketball program. It's not – they're going down there. It's not like – their gym's not like the house of horrors that their football field is for us, is it?
Not to the same level, but it could be a trap game if you're not careful. There is something about Northwestern that the Badgers seemingly, you know, it's the kryptonite to Superman. They always seem to struggle when they have to go to Northwestern. So I'm not terribly concerned with having to play Northwestern. However, it's not a game you can look past because Northwestern is what they are, and they have a tendency to be able to just push Wisconsin, whether it's football or basketball, out of their comfort zone, and it creates a situation where suddenly we could be talking about an upset loss if they're not careful.
Northwestern tonight, Michigan State, a big one on Friday night. You guys will have a good preview on that coming up on Thursday. Don, always appreciate your conversation. We'll talk to you next week, buddy.
Guys, have a great week. We'll talk to you next week as well.
Don Wachilis, College Sports Show, joins us on Tuesdays, and then you can catch the show live on Thursday, 6 p.m., right here on The Fan. Marquette playing well, still not ranked, but playing pretty well as of late. And then Milwaukee kind of wading through their waters with Patrick Baldwin Jr. injury and COVID. And, you know, people are rushing to buy their tickets and maybe not getting the kind of games that they thought they would get at this point. But hopefully Baldwin can work his way back. There's no talk of shutting him down with some injuries he's been dealing with. The Bucks have been shut down in the month of January, now 3-6 after losing to the Hawks yesterday. Chris Middleton.
You know, being better with the ball and making better decisions. You know, I'm not going to make any excuses for my turnovers. You know, it's been a conversation we've been having in our locker room for a while now. Just got to find a way to be smarter, be better. Tonight wasn't one of those nights where, you know, I took a step in the right direction, taking care of the ball, especially late in the game like that with the game on the line. So, just got to own it, learn from it, and try to be better.
Middleton had 34 points last night. Middleton had 8 turnovers last night. He was 11 of 22 shooting. Giannis, 27 points last night. You know, one thing we haven't talked about is Giannis has been shooting the ball from the free throw line very well lately. He was 17 of 17. He was 17 of 17 the other night against Toronto in a loss. But in the month of January, yeah, they're 3-6. And I thought they'd win last night because it was on national TV. And it looked like they were going to win for a long time. Then the Hawks went on like a 20-4 run or something in the fourth quarter, just making everything, and the Bucks didn't have an answer for it. And so you look at where the Bucks are, and a lot of streaks were broken last night too. Hawks had lost 10 straight home games, and they got the win on MLK Day. And then the Bucks had a lead after the third. They were 23-0 this season when they led after the third. And so that's the first time they lost, 121 to 114, the final. Again, I don't want to look at the standings, even though I say that I'm going to in a second, until March. And I don't think there's like, you know, with COVID and injuries and Drew's out right now, I don't think there's a reason to panic. But when your basketball team wins a title, and then the next year they have a month where they're 3-6, you do ask yourself, well, why? What's up? Well, what's going on? You don't even like need to worry about it. You just want to know the answer. And I don't know what the answer is right now. I think it might be a lack of focus or a lack of motivation. I mean, what's motivating the Bucks right now? Honestly, they won the championship. They're going to make the playoffs. So, you know, you want to play good basketball and all that. And, you know, you want to win. You'd rather win than lose. But from a pure motivation standpoint, I don't know what the motivation is. Now, it was a big week for them. They got the Grizzlies, who are red hot. They come to town. The Bulls. That game's on Friday. Tickets are tough to get. Tickets are up in that one. You're not seeing, like, Bucks promotions where they're like, hey, we're going to jack up our season ticket prices, but then send everybody an email. Hey, do you want, I got an email about this Grizzlies game. 2 seats for $25 and, like, free soda. What the hell's going on? You're charging people $9,000 for season tickets, and then I'm just going to walk in there for free, and you're going to give me a beverage. But the Bulls game, tickets are going up because the Bulls are good now, and Chicago fans finally have a reason to come up here. I mean, you remember that playoff series against them back in 15? It was 50-50. Bulls fans came and they invaded and they took over the Bradley Center at the time. And now they're good. Now the team has something to play for. Now their fans have something to get behind, and especially on a weekend. I don't think it's going to be a Wrigley North-type atmosphere, but maybe for the first game, you're going to get a lot of Bolts fans here. And if you're a Bucks fan and you have season tickets and you get the email that they're getting raised, and then you're like, well, I can flip some money, right? I'm not blaming you at all. I would do the same thing. So the Bucks have the Bulls. That's coming up on Friday after a game against the Grizzlies on Wednesday. We'll see if they're a little more focused playing some of these teams. The Grizzlies, third right now in the West at 31-15. And the Bulls first in the East at 27-15. The Bucks, as of right now, see, this is why you can't look at the standings. If you look at the standings right now, the Bucks are the fifth seed. They're the fifth seed. They're 27-19. And you're like, oh my God, they're the fifth seed. They're two games back of the one seed. Everything's jammed up there. The top six teams are 2.5 apart. The top 10 teams are 5.5 apart. Bulls, Heat, Nets, Cavs, Bucks, Sixers are your top six. So everything is jammed up there. You want your team to win every game, especially, you know, the primetime ones. You want them to win the national TV ones. You'd like them to be more like 31-10 or something, but they just, that's not happening right now. And it's not really costing them anything. That's the thing, too. Like, oh, they're 3-6 in January. Oh, no. But they're two games back of the one seed, if that is important to you or them. 414-799-1250. More on this Packers game coming up. They got the San Francisco 49ers on Saturday. Talking about that, talking about the Bucks, talking about the Badgers. We got to talk about The Rock and a giant T-Rex behind him, obviously. It's not a sports story, but it's a sports-adjacent story, so we in sports radio love that. We hate when we actually have to talk sports. But The Rock was on Monday Night Football and had a T-Rex behind him. So we're going to talk about that. All that and more coming up.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.